Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now, it's not often two public radio hosts get the chance to sit down for a relaxed, wide-ranging conversation, but that's what I'll be doing with Tavis Smiley to mark his 20th year in broadcasting. We'll talk about politics, including the 2012 election, as well as race, the media, turning failure into success, and whatever is the hot topic of the day. Join us Wednesday, April 27th at the Cooper Union. Tickets on the events page at WNYC.org. Fossil fuels, global warming, greenhouse gases, almost always on trial in our public sphere. But today, the issue really does head to court, the Supreme Court. Today, the justices are hearing oral arguments for American Electric Power versus Connecticut, a case which seeks to settle whether states and conservation groups can sue power plants to get them to curb their carbon dioxide emissions. The plaintiffs, a coalition of six states, including New York and Connecticut, several conservation groups, and the city of New York, call these power plants public nuisances and seek to tie them directly to the issue of global warming. The case raises the question of who can regulate greenhouse gases and thus climate change, individual states or only the federal government, and it puts the issue in the hands of the Supreme Court. Joining me now to give us the details of the case and what's at stake is Professor Dick Stewart, director of the Guarini Center for Environmental and Land Use Law at NYU. Welcome to WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
So there are six states, California, Connecticut, Iowa, New York, Rhode Island, and Vermont, as well as New York City and conservation groups. Who are the defendants, and what is the, quote, public nuisance in question?
Yes, it's a group of the major power companies in the United States that have coal-fired power plants, and the states are claiming that their emissions are contributing to global warming that's adversely affecting the states and their citizens. And they want the federal courts to fashion a remedy by essentially telling the power companies to reduce their CO2 emissions.
And what's exactly at stake here? What must the judges actually determine in this case? Are they really being asked to determine if global warming is real, if the power plants are contributing to an actual public nuisance known as global warming?
Yes. There are a number of legal and factual issues. In Massachusetts versus EPA, the Supreme Court more or less agreed with a group of states, with Massachusetts and environmental groups, that global warming was caused by CO2 and required the EPA to start regulating carbon dioxide emissions. But here the states are not looking to the federal government or EPA to regulate, but want the courts to have a remedy. So the issues are assuming CO2 causes global warming. One, do the states have a sufficient interest in this? Global warming affects everybody, and in the federal court case, you have to show some special or distinctive injury that concerns you to get a remedy. Secondly, is this whole suit something that has been displaced by federal Clean Air Act, where EPA is starting to regulate CO2? So can the states get a separate remedy from the federal courts? And thirdly, even if this case could proceed, can the judges really fashion a remedy here and resolve a case that involves huge economic, environmental trade-offs and emissions by dozens of power plants?
Now, the states argue that the EPA, even though charged with overseeing carbon emissions, does not have the teeth to actually regulate the electric power industry. We see this as an issue in Congress. It didn't quite make that latest budget agreement, but the Republicans in the House were trying to get into that agreement a clause that the EPA, in fact, cannot regulate greenhouse gases as pollutants. Now, you're a law professor, not a politics professor, but you would think that to be consistent, the Republicans being the party of states' rights and, you know, the Tea Party especially, hooking a lot of their existence to a states' rights movement, would say that under the 10th Amendment, any power not granted in the Constitution to the federal government devolves to the states, that they would be all for states being able to sue power plants to regulate global warming rather than the federal government having a monopoly on that. Do you happen to know the
There are ironies on both sides here. I mean, you're right that the power companies and the people in many of the Republicans and Tea Party folks in Congress and elsewhere who oppose regulation of greenhouse gases, one would think would be supporting the right of states, if they can show adverse effects, to get a remedy, basic sort of property type rights. On the other hand, the environmentalists have successfully sued to force EPA to regulate. EPA is beginning regulation, hasn't been cut off yet. But now they're turning around and saying, aha, but we ought to get a second bite at the apple and we ought to get a remedy from the federal courts. So I think both sides to this controversy are taking somewhat inconsistent positions.
And the Obama administration, the opposite of what people might guess, is siding with the defendants, the power companies. And the federal government owns at least one power company, the Tennessee Valley Authority. This seems to be a bit awkward for them as Obama has pushed for more regulation.
Yeah, my own view is that the Supreme Court is going to reverse the decision of the Second Circuit Court of Federal Court of Appeals here in New York that allowed the suit to go forward, because it's pretty hard to see how, you know, if it went forward, how the judges would really work out a remedy here. But the real impetus here on both sides is political. If this suit goes forward, it will reinforce the interest of the industry in having EPA deal with this problem rather than to having to face this lawsuit. Then there are going to be other lawsuits. And I think the industry would prefer to have, you know, consistent regulation from EPA. So the environmentalists are using this and the states to help strengthen federal regulation in the end.
Explain again why you think the Supreme Court will turn away the states on this. What's the constitutional basis?
Well, one basis is a constitutional doctrine of standing, that to get into court you have to show some special injury. The argument is, well, this is a global problem, and there's nothing distinctive that New York versus any other state or any other country has in this matter to call forth a judicial remedy.
I would think that states with coastlines, for example, as most but not all of the states in the suit have, might say they have special injury potential.
Yes. With the sea level rise, and the Supreme Court in the Massachusetts against EPA case decision 3 years ago agreed with that. That was 5-4.
Uh-huh.
And the critical vote was Justice Kennedy, who authored the majority opinion. Now, my guess is that Justice Kennedy is going to be on the other side on this one, and maybe some of the other justices who are in the majority there, just because I think the specter of having the federal courts sort of be essentially regulatory agencies. How are you going to, if there are, 50 power plants in different parts of the country, how's a judge going to decide how much each one is going to clean up, what the technology is, what the cost? This isn't impossible for the courts, but it looks more like something the EPA ought to be doing. That's the argument for saying this ought to be kept out of the courts.
I understand. And in our last 30 seconds, Justice Sotomayor has recused herself from this case. How come?
She was on the panel before the Second Circuit here in New York City. She didn't. She was elevated to the Supreme Court before that case was decided. I don't think there's any particular reason why she should feel disqualified just because she heard argument in this case previously, but she's bending over backwards to be very, very proper here and have no suggestion that she has a predisposition in this case. So she's staying out of it, which is too bad because we'd love to see how she'd come out on it.
Professor Dick Stewart, environmental law professor at NYU, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll see what happens at the Supreme Court today. Now, yesterday we did a spring break call-in for teachers on whether you would accept the new Chancellor Dennis Wolcott's offer to tone down the rhetoric on both sides in the New York City public schools regarding how teachers and schools and students are evaluated, which is through high-stakes standardized tests for the most part, and when failing schools should be closed. Most of you who called felt the mayor's side still has most of the toning down to do. But today let's follow up and dive into the underlying issue. So now we're going to open the phones, another call-in for teachers on spring break. And you don't have to be in New York City. If you're a teacher from anywhere, able to listen at this time of day because you're off for this week, happy Passover, happy Easter, etc. And call us and tell us how you evaluate your own school. How would you? How do you know if a school is failing or succeeding? Can you do it by walking the halls and looking at whether the faces are bright and shiny or the art on the walls? Can you do it with standardized tests? Are standardized tests part of the evaluation system that you would include? If you're sick and tired of Mayor Bloomberg imposing evaluation systems on you, Governor Christie imposing evaluation systems on you, whoever it is, design your own. Call us up right now, teachers, and tell us how you would evaluate your school. How would you evaluate yourself as a teacher? And I don't mean you should actually evaluate yourself or your school. I mean, how would you do it, hypothetically? What standards would you apply throughout public education to know if a school is thriving or failing or if teachers are effective or ineffective? Call us up right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Teachers, giving you lots of voice here on this spring break, so take advantage of it. How would you evaluate whether a school is failing or thriving? And if teachers, same thing. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692.